Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Bridging the Geekdoms, the only place, not really the only place, but the only place that you can find Colton and myself, Robert, sitting here talking about nerd stuff and other nerd things such as comics, movies, TVs, and a bunch of other stuff. This week, we did miss last week. Sorry about that, but I was dying and sick and work and dying and sick. It sucked last week. It was the week before was Colton, or 2 weeks ago was Colton sick. I got it this past week. It sucked. But this week, we're going to talk a lot about Marvel and Marvel Cinematic Universe because we have a week to catch up on our journey towards Endgame. So we're going to talk about Nick Fury, Maria Hill, Captain Marvel herself, as well as reviewing her movie. We also are going to talk about Ant-Man, Wasp, as well as everyone's favorite, especially Colton's favorite, Hawkeye/Ronin.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk
those
about.
Those two turds.
We're going to talk about those for the Marvel Cinematic Universe and Marvel Comics later on in the show. But we're going to just, you know, do some little house cleaning here, find out what Colton's been up to, maybe talk about some things that have been going on in the news with other areas of the geekdom so we can bridge everything together.
And I see what you did there.
Yeah. So
some may say we're bridging the geekdoms.
What?
Whoa.
So what's going on?
Nothing really. Working and stuff. Finally finished Spider-Man.
How'd you
like
it?
The game. It didn't really pique any of my interest until the third act.
Yeah. Once you, I mean, really in spoilers, kind of, I mean, it's been out for like 8 months. Once you start playing, going against the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
And I think I said the same thing to you. Like, the whole Lee stuff.
Like,
you
it's
know.
Interesting, but it's not, like, attention-grabbing or anything.
Exactly.
It's just a whole bunch of errand missions.
Exactly. But once you go against the Sinister Six, that's when it gets kind of fun.
And then you get 12, like, not even joking, like, 8 missions.
Yeah.
And then the game's over.
Well, I mean, you didn't do the downloadable content, though, did you?
Not yet.
Yeah, but I think that adds some missions.
It's just like...
It's probably all side missions.
Side missions and stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the ending was interesting, but... I'm going to go back and probably do the collectibles and never pick that game up again.
Yeah, well, that's sad.
Yeah. Web-slinging was cool, though. Really like web-slinging.
Yeah, yeah, I think we talked about that a few weeks ago whenever you finally got into the game. You're like, I like the web-slinging, but the game...
But the game's ass.
Meh. Dude, we're so close to Game of Thrones. Like, that's all, like, my mind is just on Game of Thrones right now.
I'm so far... I watched the last 3 episodes of the last season. And that's pretty much outside of the first season all I've watched.
Yeah.
I'm far behind.
I mean, there's a lot that happened over these past couple of weeks. We got trailers. We got the huge news. I mean, for myself, like I said, I was sick last week. I didn't really do anything. I saw Captain Marvel the weekend it came out. And since then, I've been kind of just working and, like, dying.
Same.
That's pretty much all I did this past week.
I'm just getting over my death.
Yeah. So it's kind of you can actually still kind of hear it in me a little bit. It kind of sucks. Some of the things I do want to talk about, because I know I'm excited. I know you're excited about it. Being a big video game fan, Halo Master Chief Collection is finally getting Halo Reach.
My favorite Halo.
I'm pumped about it.
I am too. That's going to inspire me to actually play online again.
You know what? I might.
I might hop back on for that.
I might as well. It's been so long since I've played Halo Reach, so I want to play that again. I want to play the
that too.
Again.
I mean, I'm looking for any excuse to replay that game. I mean,
it's still to this day. I don't care what anybody says. Probably the one moment in Halo Reach that I literally was like, the game was complete fan service. First of all, like that game.
Obviously.
Bungie was like, look, we're going out and we're going to give the fans everything they want. But still, my favorite thing was that they put multiplayer maps in the campaign mode of that game, like Ivory Tower, Lockout, like it's all in the story mode. It was so
great. It was because they were lazy and they were like, whatever, we're not designing a new map.
But it was so cool, though. I don't care how lazy it was. It was just one of those things. It was kind of like, I remember whenever I was like, holy crap, this is Ivory Tower.
You're like, oh, wait, I know where to camp.
Yeah, but
it goes completely off the path and just mercs everything.
Now, I know like the original posting, and you could maybe shed a little more light on it. I saw that it was only on the PC, but it is going to be on the Xbox as well, right?
Probably. I don't see why they wouldn't.
I don't know if you looked more into it than I did.
I mean, I just saw Reach and I was like, No, that wasn't me puking. That was me being excited.
Way overly excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't see why it wouldn't come to the Xbox. It just wouldn't make sense. Why it wouldn't?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I just hope it's sooner rather than later, because I don't think they gave a release when it's happening, did they?
I mean, it's the release of the Master Chief Collection on PC.
Yeah.
So
this is what people need to realize. All right, Bungie. I mean, it's Bungie and Microsoft Studios, really, if you think about it. Or is it just Microsoft now? It's not Microsoft
I think
Studios.
It's just
Microsoft. Xbox Studios now.
Yeah, it might be. Like it's something along those lines.
But either way, with how bad the Master Chief Collection launched, like, that game was probably one of the worst launches in the history of video games.
And what's sad is it's like a really good deal and a really good bundle.
It's, yeah. I mean, come on. It was, what, $40, I think, when it came out?
Yeah,
maybe
and
50
it had,
bucks.
Like, all of the Halo games.
It had all but ODST and Reach.
Yeah.
All the downloadable content, everything. All already unlocked. Like, you didn't have to unlock anything. Everything was unlocked. All the skulls, all the maps, everything.
You just play the game.
Exactly. But the launch was so bad. Dude, I remember getting that game, installing it, and trying to play the game before going to work. I couldn't do it. I came home, still couldn't play it. It took me 2 or 3 days before I could finally get on and play because the servers were so bad. And it took a while. It took them a while, but they got it, dude. They got it up to par. Like, and they're not done. Like, they keep doing stuff with it. Like that is what gamers want.
That's what they're telling. They're just shutting us up because we want Halo 6.
Oh, God. Dude, I just want more Halo. I don't care what it is. Just give me Halo and I'll be happy. Honestly, like, that's the only game I really care about anymore on any system, on anything. You know, so, I mean.
Oh, Assassin's Creed 3 comes out next week, I think. I don't know. It's the worst Assassin's Creed. But that's the last one they have to remaster for the Xbox One. Or actually, the first one I think they have to remaster. But they're never going to.
Yeah, probably not. No, they may. Who knows? Who knows? Let's see. What else was going on that I was real excited about?
I can tell you something that I'm really sad about.
What's that?
I have to go see The Curse of La Llorona.
Why?
Because it's part of the Conjuring universe, and I don't respect myself. I'm really not excited about it. It looks so bad. So bad.
Alas. Let's see what else is going on. That sucks, dude. I'm sorry.
I know.
It looks so bad.
It does. And I like horror films, and I'm saying it looks bad.
Yeah, it looks real bad. Real bad.
Oh, well.
What the hell is going on with DC and Warner Brothers, man?
They're imploding.
I mean,
it's imploding.
So, you know, we've talked ad nauseum about this, so I'm not going to go and dive back into everything again.
There is nothing you can say that you haven't said.
Exactly, except for this. What the hell? So Ray Fisher, who played Cyborg in Justice League, or as a lot of people like to call it, Justice League, he did an amazing job. Like,
yeah, I thought he was
awesome
a good
Cyborg. I liked him as Cyborg. I wanted to see more of him. Well, guess what? Too bad. He's done. He's out. No longer Cyborg. So
he's no longer getting a film.
Yeah, no longer getting a film. He's gone. He's done. So he's gone and done with. You know, obviously we know Ben Affleck is gone, and you know, they're going to be looking to recast and bring somebody in for Batman. It is what it is. Whatever. That's fine. I got past the whole Batman thing a year ago. That is what it is.
Yeah.
The Ray Fisher thing just really makes me mad because he didn't get a chance to shine.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he would have done really well. Then you have this Ezra Miller crap going on, who plays the Flash, Barry Allen, and they can't get a script. His contract is due to expire in May, and if they don't get into production by then with something,
he's out.
And him and Grant Morrison, I think, are writing a script for a Flash movie because they want to try and keep it, because they don't like what they've gotten already.
Yeah.
Ezra Miller doesn't. So he's getting with Grant Morrison to write a script that's more dark, a little more dark, similar to Zack Snyder's vision and take on the Flash, which is what he really liked and why he signed up to play the character. And now if WB doesn't like it, well, guess what? They're not going with that script, and they're going to go in another direction, probably recast Flash. Again, it is what it is. I wasn't a huge fan of Ezra Miller when I cast him. I thought he did a good job in Justice League. I liked his little banter. I felt he was more a little... He was kind of a cross between Wally West and Barry Allen's Flashes. So it wasn't the best, but I dug it. I thought it was cool. Again,
it was a good adaptation.
Exactly. That's kind of the way I always look at it. When people just freak out all the time, I'm like, look, if it's good, if it's a good adaptation, if they play the part well, I don't mind if they change the character a little bit. I don't mind if the director or the actor wants to do their own thing with it. I'm okay with that because, well, guess what? It's creativity.
Yeah.
And these are creators. They're influenced by what was in the comic books,
But they're doing their own
thing. They're doing their own thing, and I've always been fine with that. You know, and that's kind of what happened with Ezra Miller. And that's fine. I enjoyed it. I didn't hate him. I mean, I thought his running looked wonky, but that could have been changed in the Flash movie, or that could change in the Flash movie, thank God, hopefully. But besides that...
He just twisted his ankle and just was limping the entire movie.
He basically was. But, you know, honestly... itchy nose. Honestly, I don't really care if they get rid of Ezra Miller and start over. All this is doing, everything that's going on, is just solidifying what others and I have been telling everybody for the past year and a half, 2 years, that it was never intended to be a larger universe than what Zack Snyder was creating in his 5 movies. That was it. These characters, these actors and actresses that he hired, brought in and cast for these roles were not supposed to be in anything more than 5 movies.
Yeah.
And
makes sense.
What people don't seem to understand is that's the case, and that's why a lot of these people are walking away or being let go, because WB never had plans for them besides what Zack Snyder had.
Yeah,
you can sit there and say, oh, Geoff Johns said we're going to have a Flash movie, and we're going to have a Cyborg movie, and we're going to have a Green Lantern Corps movie. Yeah, he said that, but they had nothing
they were just
solidified.
Saying it.
They were saying it because, like, oh, we're going to build off of what we have already because fans want it.
Yeah.
Again, it is the fans' fault. I don't care what anybody says. It is my fault. It is Colton's fault. It is all your fault that is listening that this happened to the DC film universe. It's all of our fault because we were asking and wanting way too much than what they already had planned. If we would have shut up, if we would have sat back and just said, let's give Snyder our money, let's give them our money for what they're doing, then we would have a finished Zack Snyder universe probably coming up in the next year or two. And then they would be planning for what's coming after that.
Yeah, and everything would have been hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Now we just have an imploding Warner Brothers.
Exactly, and it sucks. I'm sorry, it just sucks.
Really, even really sucks. Even with the whole James Gunn situation.
You know, that doesn't really...
Like, now he's making a sequel to a universe that's dead.
Well, no, it's not a sequel anymore. That's the thing, you didn't hear?
It's a reboot, isn't it?
It's officially a reboot. Officially, it's a reboot. And I'm telling you this, I said this 9 months ago, DC needs to reboot the universe. I said they need to reboot all their movies. I was like, they can keep Aquaman, they can keep Momoa, they can keep...
Gal Gadot,
and they can keep Margot Robbie. They can keep those three. They are big. At the time, I also said Will Smith and some other people because I liked their portrayals. You know, like Henry Cavill, I like him, but he may be gone as well. But they can keep these actors and just do a reboot. Like, there's no reason why they can't. They can just simply come out. All they have to do is come out and say, look, we are rebooting the universe using these same characters. Everything that came before Aquaman or everything that came before Shazam or whatever they do.
Doesn't exist.
It doesn't matter. It's not part of this universe. And move forward, guess what?
Everything's fixed.
People might be a little upset. You're going to have those fans that are upset. I'd be a little upset, but at the same time, I'm like, hey, they're finally doing it. They're doing what they need to do.
They got their shit together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I want to see happen. Then you also have this whole thing that's going on with Wonder Woman where a producer of the movie came out and said it's not a sequel to the first Wonder Woman.
What? All right. No, it's like sitting me right there at the head of WB like, I don't know, whatever. Throw shit out. I don't care.
Like, that's exactly what's going on right now. It's so baffling to me. Like, what is going on?
I mean, that could mean that Wonder Woman's like the start of the new one, maybe? New universe?
Well, somebody made a good point on the social medias, and he was like, yo, guys, chill out. It's not a sequel because it takes place before the first Wonder Woman. And I was like, what? And he's not wrong. Because technically, the first Wonder Woman took place in modern day, and it was a flashback
to
World War One. I was like, I see what you're saying there.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, that could be what the producer's saying. And
everybody's just like, we don't care. Warner Brothers sucks.
But, you know, while Warner Brothers is over there, you know, twiddling their buttholes or whatever they're doing.
Touching buttholes to make babies and stuff. Doing weird butt play.
James Gunn, you know, who is signed on and will be writing and directing The Suicide Squad, has once again been brought back to the Marvel Universe to do Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And that is official. That is going to happen. It looks like it's been official for well over a month or so, but they didn't announce it until this past week. And people are ecstatic. And I'm kind of like, look, I'm cool with it. I like James Gunn. I wasn't a big fan of Volume 2. Wasn't a big fan of it. I was excited about him going on to the Suicide Squad. And I'm just as excited as him going on with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I think he'll do fine. I just hope he does more the first movie than he did, you know, in the second one. But again, I think it's great. I think he was let go playing, for a bullshit reason to begin with.
Playing both sides now.
He is, but Josh Whedon did it too.
True.
You know, and he he's a producer on a lot of Marvel movies and Marvel things still. So he was a producer over there and directing over here and writing over here.
You know why they hired James Gunn back?
Why?
Dave Bautista's wrestling in WrestleMania this year.
Is that why?
That's why. He threatened to go back to WWE.
That's probably what it is.
They're like, we need you.
They probably couldn't care less what happens with Dave Bautista. Yeah. Even though he's great as Drax, he's not a great actor. So.
Well, you got to give him characters that don't require acting.
Yeah, exactly.
I will be content. I'll say this now, and it better fucking happen in Endgame. Dave Bautista better Bautista bomb someone in Endgame. I don't care who it is. I don't care how it happens. If he Bautista bombs Ant-Man, I'm completely fine with it.
Did we talk about that Aladdin trailer last episode?
Did we?
I don't remember. I don't know. Probably not. But let's just talk about it.
It's terrible.
Again.
It's awful.
You know what? We did talk about it, I think.
Recap. It's terrible. It's awful. Terrible. Don't go see the movie.
God, don't. Yeah.
Don't waste your time.
It looks so bad.
Actually, yeah, we did, because I remember saying it went complete, like, no interest in seeing it whatsoever.
It's bad. It's that bad, people. And I'm sure everybody's seen it by now, but it's that bad.
Yeah, because then we were like, well, we can go see Dumbo.
Yeah.
That could be the replacement for it.
There was a new Detective Pikachu trailer.
Oh, yeah, and they released a whole bunch of Pokemans.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm interested in seeing this movie. For as much as I dislike Pokemon, I'm interested in seeing this movie, and I know my son Bobby, he's going to want to see the crap out of it, so I know I'm taking him to go see it.
I was all for it. I didn't know how I'd feel about live-action Pokemon, but most of them look pretty good and, like, accurate to the game and anime.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. My boy Bulbasaur's in it, so I can't wait.
Your boy is Bulbasaur?
Yeah, Bulbasaur's my favorite starter. Fuck off.
Jesus, calm down. It was just a question.
No, it's a natural defense because everybody's like, he's the worst.
I couldn't tell you what a Bulbasaur is from a Squirtle to a...
You said Squirtle wrong.
Whatever. I couldn't tell you what the differences are, so...
Bulbasaur's the best. Fight me, internet. Fight me.
Yeah. Okay, so that's happening. He's threatening and...
Yeah, fight me. Everybody says Bulbasaur sucks. No, he doesn't. He's adorable. Shut your face. Sit over there with your Charizards and be dragons that aren't dragons.
All right, so I kind of was just looking to see if I missed anything else here. It doesn't look like... I mean, there was a lot of stuff, but I'm not like... It was nothing that big of a deal for me to talk about. Doom Patrol. People watch Doom Patrol. It's on the DC Universe app. Look, Doom Patrol is doing for superhero or comic book television shows that Deadpool did for superhero movies. It is just that off the wall wackiness that is just that's needed. It's something different. It's something so damn funny and fun to watch and enjoyable, and you're always wanting to see what happens next because it's always that ridiculous and but it's good. It's not like ridiculous where like, oh god, it's like ridiculous. Like, it's like, oh man, this is hilarious.
It's tastefully ridiculous.
Not even tastefully. It's just funny. It's good. It brings every emotion that you could possibly think of to a show. It's fantastic, and I want more people to watch it because I want them to do another season. I want them to do 10 more seasons. Brendan Fraser as Robot Man is absolutely phenomenal because every time you hear him say "fuck" or something like that in the show. As Robot Man, I just think Brendan Fraser is saying fuck, and I laugh because it's Brendan Fraser, and it's just funny. Look, watch the show. It's fantastic. I recommend it to everybody. I personally think that it is better than any other DC superhero show that's ever been put on. That is including The Flash, Arrow, Titans, all of them. I think this is, because to me, it is just enjoyable start to finish every single episode so far. It has just been enjoyable. Like, there has not been an episode where I go, man, I wish I didn't watch that. Hmm. You know, it's just, it's great. And Titans was amazing. Don't get me wrong. Titans was amazing, but it drug on a little bit towards the end of the season. You know, and then you know my feelings with the CW verse with Flash and Arrow and all that stuff. I think
Arrow's coming to an end.
Yeah, yeah. But you know my feelings on that a little bit. It's I feel that they have too much filler from time to time.
Sometimes complete filler.
Yeah. But yeah,
like, I mean, Dragon Ball Z levels of filler.
Talking about, oh, there's something real quick. Arrow, yes, Arrow's gonna be coming to an end next year. Looks like it's gonna have a 10 episode.
I think it's 10 episode.
10 episode run, and it's gonna end. Makes sense. Crisis on Infinite Earths, the crossover event next year, usually happens in December, right around December, which is right around the 8, 9, 10 episode mark of all those shows. Makes sense. We're going to probably get 8 episodes, 9 episodes of Arrow, and then their final episode will be the crossover, or we'll get like 8 episodes, 9, the 9th episode will be the crossover, and then the episode after that will be the finale.
I mean, the whole season should just be the crossover, but whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, dude, if
Crisis is not a 2 or 3 episode thing.
Thank you. Look, like, I want Crisis on Infinite Earth to happen so bad, but it should literally be all 4, 5, however many freaking shows are on the CW anyway. Now, all shows should only be dedicated to Crisis. That's it. The first half of the season, just the first half. That you know, that gives you what, 40 episodes?
Yeah.
To and cover then, Crisis. And then after that ends, then
you have all of the aftermath.
All the aftermath. So another 40 episodes after that, you know, 10 episodes, 12 episodes per show to just have a regular season after that and build off of that. That's what I think they should be doing, but they're not going to do it.
No, it's going to be crammed into one episode and it's going to be ass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going
to rest in spaghetti.
It's going to annoy me. I mean, don't get me wrong, Elseworlds was decent. And then the one before that, Crisis on Earth X, that was really good too. So they've done some good crossovers. You know, Elseworlds had a really good episode and then 2 subpar episodes, you know, and Earth X I think was just fantastic from start to finish, so they can do it. But Crisis is such a big event in the comics that I can't see them.
It shouldn't be one episode.
Well, it wouldn't be one, it'd Earth be three, four maybe four, at most,
whatever,
if they use Legends.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be. Shouldn't.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Rest in spaghetti.
Yeah, I mean, that it doesn't mean that it's only going to be that, because they could extend it to like a 3-week thing, you know. Yeah. So it could be like 8, 9 episodes, which I'd be okay with even that. I know it's television. I know they can only do so much, but
I want movie budget production on this. I want to see Thanos make an appearance. I know he's from Marvel. I just want to see Thanos make an appearance.
So you mentioned a little bit ago, Dragon Ball.
Yeah, Super coming back in July.
Yeah, rumor has it. It's not 100% official from Toy Animation, but it seems like Dragon Ball Super, the anime, not the manga, because the manga, or manga, however you want to say it.
The manga.
It's currently going on right now with the villain Moro.
Oh, I didn't meant to see that. He got a new transformation, apparently.
More it did.
Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, that's currently going on. It looks like if I were a betting man, I would say
we got Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome. Yeah. Now, son, I ain't no gambling man, but if I were a gambling man, Dragon Ball Super probably coming back.
But no, it's going to be following that storyline with the Galactic Patrol and Moro escaping and all that fun stuff.
And
all that
Cell jazz. Coming back. That's, spoiler.
But that's not, no.
They don't know.
They don't read the manga, jeez.
They don't, it's Japanese. They don't read it. Stop. I mean, but on the plus side, if it comes out in July, it's going to be in Japanese. Like, it's going to be dubbed.
Oh, yeah, We won't get an English dub until, at the earliest, I would say, end of 2019, but probably not until mid-2020. I would say probably April, May. That's when we'll start to see.
And we'll be sitting here dub. Like, filthy normies, we just finished it.
Yeah, because my guess is they will probably finish the first arc, and they will start dubbing the first arc after they finish the first arc in Japan. That's my guess. I think I honestly think they're going to do it quicker than they've ever done it before. I mean, obviously quicker than Z, because Z was out in the 80s and 90s, and then 10 years later it came out into the States. But Super, it took them, maybe three years before they started dubbing it.
Yeah, which was ridiculous.
I think it's going to be a lot quicker now, because I think...
They realize how much of a following they have here.
Look at the money that Brawley made in the theaters. I mean, they would be dumb not to be like, okay, we got to get this out as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be kind of, we're going to be, Americans will be an arc behind, a season behind.
Yeah.
Super. That's how I think it's going to go.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But then again, you also got to think of this. I mean, I know that Super, technically, the Tournament of Power went in... and surpassed where the manga was. Yeah. So like they were doing...
Yeah, they were catching up.
The manga was catching up to the anime at one point.
Yeah, I mean, there's only slight differences between the two, though.
But, I mean, it'd be interesting because, you know, they're only, what, like six issues?
In with it now.
In the manga, so...
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. It's Super. I'll watch it. You know,
the only thing that's really different in the manga is the Toppo Vegeta fight and Jiren's complete character.
Yeah.
Like, Jiren's a complete asshole in the manga.
Yeah.
Like, he kills his own teammates in the manga.
Mm.
Well, not kill, but, you know, eliminates his own teammates. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, I'm rewatching right now the American or the sub version, so. It's funny because just it's so much different. Like just watching it now compared to when I watched it last year, it's just like, wow, really?
So subbed or dubbed?
Look,
I'll go there. I'll go there with you.
You know me. I prefer sub. I do. I prefer or not sub
dubbed.
I prefer dubbed. Just because I like Sean Schemmel, I like Christopher Sabat, I like their voices. It's what I grew up with.
And also not reading while you watch.
And I do enjoy not reading when I watch. But don't get me wrong, I just want to watch it. So if I can watch it subbed, I will watch it subbed. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch it again when it's dubbed.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Like I own most, I think Nicole went out and bought most of the Super.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
I only own the first season of Super.
But like I just been watching it, like whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
It's fun. It's great. It's just, you know, I mean, the animation's not great in Super, but this isn't about Super. This is just
it
about
gets better
Dragon
as it goes on.
It does, yeah. But even like that's something like
even Z had bad animation.
Yeah,
at times.
Z had some really bad animation at times. But like I was watching this past week's episode, and even then I was sitting there, I was like, wow, this anime like it did get better, but it's still not great.
You could tell they were rushing it.
Yeah. I just don't like I don't know if it's like how clean it looks now compared to what Z looked like or what.
Z had some of the best drawing.
Yeah.
Like ever, in my opinion.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully it's, I can't wait. I just can't wait.
I wonder if Broly's going to make an appearance. Because spoiler alert, he doesn't die.
I would like to see that happen. But I don't think it's going to be in the first arc.
Nah.
It might be in the second or third arc.
Because he, I mean...
If they continue after this arc, who knows?
I mean, hopefully. I mean, just so happy that my favorite fusion's now canon.
Yeah. All right, so we're done with all that stuff there.
We're done being nerds.
We're going to get even nerdier, though.
Yeah.
And jump into our little bit of talk for the Marvel... our journey to Marvel Endgame.
We're not doing the Captain Marvel one first?
Where I want to start off with that.
Oh, okay, I jumped
the
gun.
Is talking about Captain Marvel, the movie. So Captain Marvel came out a couple weeks ago. We both got a chance to go see it. I know a lot of people, I mean, it's made almost $800 million at this point, so a lot of people have seen the movie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of discussion about it because a lot of people, there's just so much debate over, is this a good movie or not? And I can't help but get into the middle of those conversations because you know me, I love a good debate. Yeah. I love talking about things.
Most of them don't end in debates, though.
But
specifically with Rachel.
What I'm going to do here, I'm going to read my review. All right, I'm going to read my review.
Dope.
And then what I want you to do is, after I'm done, you know, we'll talk and we'll discuss from that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I didn't write a review.
Yeah. So after nearly 11 years of the MCU, the most powerful of all Marvel Comics heroes finally makes her way to the big screen in Captain Marvel. Nearly making her debut in 2014's Avengers Age of Ultron, Carol Danvers has been a heavily requested character by the fans for quite some time. And whether it was the fear and uncertainty of Marvel releasing a solo-led female superhero movie, or they didn't know how to utilize the character properly, it seems like this is just a few years too late. After the disappointing Ant-Man and the Wasp, which came out after the mega hit Avengers Infinity War, I personally had high expectations for this movie. I mean, why wouldn't I be excited for the Marvel's equivalent of Superman and the one hero who is capable of going toe-to-toe with the Mad Titan himself? So, the movie is pretty typical for an MCU origin movie. They utilize flashbacks more than other films have in the franchise, but it is necessary to develop, of the development of the hero. Unfortunately, her personal development is an issue I have, and feel that it is being built this way for one specific reason, and unfortunately, it won't quite be earned when the payoff occurs. The villain or villains of the film may be the least interesting since Ego. In my opinion, he was an awful villain. But you should never expect too much when it comes to villains in the MCU. Oh, did I mention girl power? Honestly, there wasn't too much of that in this movie. Boys can get the same exact message in this movie that girls get from this film, which is something that connects to what I said above about her development. As we have seen this development, this arc, already in a different form within the MCU. Getting into the music, the symphonic score was easily the most forgettable in all of the MCU movies, and the use of popular 90s music was used in some of the most ridiculous ways that it pulled me out of the movie. Now, it isn't used like Guardians of the Galaxy at all, like the music is used in Guardians of the Galaxy at all, so people who try to use that comparison, it doesn't hold up. It just doesn't. Speaking of the 90s, the movie could have easily taken place in any decade or year, and it wouldn't have made a difference at all. Why they picked 1995 is beyond me, as it had no relevance to the plot at all. I only say this because of how excited everyone was for the 90s feel. Also, something I didn't put here, they put it in the 90s, and they completely hurt themselves continuity-wise with other films that take place later in the future. So that was kind of like, you put it in 95, you don't pay attention to your continuity issues, and there was no reason for it to be 95.
And you shit on yourself.
Now, the Skrulls were pretty cool, and Ben Mendelsohn was absolutely superb as Talos. Give me more of that. I wish I could sit here and tell you how good the fight choreography was, but with the 435-plus cuts during each fight, it is a bit impossible to follow the action at all, and in my opinion is actually worse than any Michael Bay Transformers movie fight scene.
Oof.
It just seemed like a bunch of hodgepodge pushed together to look like a cohesive fight was going on. The movie had some standout moments, though. Carol becoming Captain Marvel. The moment that she truly becomes Captain Marvel, and you all know what I'm talking about who've seen it, that was an amazing moment.
Super Saiyan.
and the film had a lot of heart. Like, it really did. It had a lot of heart. Now, yeah, I know my review here really sounds negative, but trust me, there is a decent amount of good in this movie. I just don't want to get into much detail because it'll spoil a lot of what happens.
All that's good is spoilers.
Yeah. Now, if you're a fan of Marvel films, I say go see it. It's a good popcorn flick. The mid-credits scene is the only relevant part when it comes to Endgame, so this isn't a must-see before going and seeing Endgame. And yes, that's really what happens to his...
Yeah.
P.S. Give me more Skrulls.
Yeah.
So
now spoiler warning? Can we issue that now?
So yes. So real quick, before what are your quick non-spoiler opinion?
It was good for face value, but it's not something you're going to revisit. The Skrulls were pretty badass. Super Saiyan was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing that you didn't say in there, because I completely agree with everything. Like,
yeah.
It's just a Marvel movie.
Basically, yeah. We're going to do a quick little spoiler-filled review here, and then we're going to get back into our journey to Endgame. I'm going to say we'll give ourselves 5 minutes for spoilers. All right, so you can skip ahead. Once I say now, that's when you can then stop it. You can skip 5 minutes, and we'll be out of spoiler country.
Da-da-ts.
Call out.
Very subtle call out.
All right, so spoilers in 3, 2, 1, now.
Fucking Nick Fury's eye, man.
Dude, that was so bad.
I told you that.
That was so bad. Look, I don't care what anybody says. First off, you expect Nick Fury, being such a badass as he is, to lose his eye that way is an absolute slap to the face of all the fans. Who in their right mind in that writer's room sat there and said, oh, this will be a good idea. Let's go with that.
A cat scratching his eye.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, are you fucking... I was livid sitting in the theater.
Yeah.
I was like, this was dumb. This was dumb.
Yeah.
This was not needed. You did it for fan service, and it's shit.
Yeah.
No, retcon it.
Yeah, they need to fix that. That's ridiculous. We'll talk about the bad real quick. The Tesseract, yet again, being the MacGuffin of the movie,
yeah.
I thought it was ridiculous.
I mean, I get why it could have been, but...
I mean, the Tesseract also giving her her powers, I thought was a little weak.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think that they should have used the Tesseract as that plot device.
I mean, they could have used this in Infinity Stone, but that's like the fifth time we've seen the Tesseract.
It really is.
Like, we don't need it anymore.
Yeah. It's old. Like, that's why I keep saying...
I mean, I get why they're explaining why it's there in Avengers 1, but, like...
That's why I said, you know, like, utilizing this character, everything about it, it just seems like it's a few years too late.
Yeah.
You know, if they would have used... If they would have done this and used the Tesseract 5 years ago...
Yeah, whatever.
Fine, okay, because it makes sense for the time. You know, that makes sense. But now,
like, the Tesseract was on Asgard, Thanos had it. Like, it's been all over the place.
Yeah. And then you have, you know, the whole idea that, you know, this movie is essentially Captain America.
Yeah.
It's basically the same type of story of somebody who doesn't think they're good enough, never believes they're good enough, but is never willing to back down. You know, they don't back down despite the fact that they're weaker, that they're not as strong, they're not powerful enough. They always have that desire to stand back up, to fight what is evil. And that is exactly what Captain America was. That's what Captain Marvel is. And I know that people are like, oh, you're going to have the parallels there because of what's coming after. I get that, but that doesn't mean it's a good movie.
Yeah, that makes no standard. That's no excuse for the movie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, they could have done it better. You know, I don't. Like I said, I don't think that this movie, being about women power, I don't think it was there.
No, at all. You could have put a dude there, and it would have been just as empowering.
Exactly. Like, there was nothing about it that. And again, we're two guys sitting here talking. Yeah. I know that I've had some friends that are girls.
I hear the woman power over next door knocking on the door.
And I know that they're sitting there saying, this movie's amazing. It's so great for women. But, and I don't want to get into a debate, but DC did it 2 years ago with Wonder Woman, and they did it better. And I don't care what you say. You can sit there and say you're just DC bias. Go ahead. Say that if you want. But no matter what you say, this Wonder Woman is a better movie than Captain Marvel completely. Just from start to finish, it's a better movie. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what else to say about that. Let's get into the good stuff, though. I mean, Ben Mendelsohn as Talos.
The Skrulls all together.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing.
Like, even the design, the fluid, like, animation of shifting, that was great.
Yeah. Carol Danvers, you know, the Captain Marvel, that whole stuff, her relationship with her friend Maria, I liked that. I liked the flashbacks. I did like it.
I mean, I thought they were kind of getting played out towards the end.
Yeah.
But, like, I understand why they were doing it. Like, I was like, we're seeing just the same scene, just at a different angle.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's getting kind of annoying. Just show me what the hell's happening. Yeah.
I liked the little twist that was easily seen coming with Mar-Vell being, you know, the doctor and everything like that. And there's just, you know, it's a good movie. Like, it's a good popcorn flick. It's a good action flick, you know. I hated the cat, but...
The cat was woman service.
Yeah. I don't know if it was woman service. I just think it was that was their... That, they put the cat in,
The Flector. I don't know.
Flecktorn,
some alien.
Yeah, they put that in for the comedic relief. I mean, that's all it was. Because from the moment that you see the cat to the end, it's basically your comedic relief the entire time. I laughed one time with the cat.
I laughed the first time. I was like, oh shit, I didn't see it.
When it pulled the Tesseract.
I was
like, okay, that was different. And then they did the same trope not 2 minutes later, and I was like, what? Like, no, that's not how comedy works.
I mean, and then you kind of shit on yourself, like, okay, the cat's an alien. Where did the cat go? Like, where? Because once you think that would be a valuable asset at any given time, especially when Nick Fury has the cat.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I don't think it was a horrible movie, but I think it was a mediocre, subpar Marvel film, middle of the pack, nothing to write home about, something you can sit there and watch.
The only thing that's notable is the Skrulls.
Yeah. And I just want more of them. I want more of them so bad. I love what they did with the Skrulls. That is my favorite part of that movie.
I mean, it makes me excited for Secret Invasion or
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars. I mean, because obviously that's probably the way they're going to go.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is.
But, okay.
Anyway, we went over a little bit over 5 minutes.
That's fine. So that is Captain Marvel. Let us know what you think. If you liked it, whatever. I enjoyed it. Colton liked
it. Yeah, I mean, I liked it at face value.
Yeah, I mean, we liked it enough. We liked it as a Marvel movie. It was nothing special. It was nothing crazy. As a Marvel
movie. It gets you excited for Endgame. That's all it needed to do.
And it really didn't.
I mean, it did for really me. Didn't. I was like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Now, here's something that's not a spoiler for the movie, but just talking about it. People who haven't seen Captain Marvel, you can listen to this if you want. You don't have to, but you can. The whole thing with Captain Marvel, this movie coming out before Endgame, is for one reason. One reason only.
To watch her get shit on in Endgame.
Exactly. It's to see, because Captain Marvel, the movie, shows how powerful, how strong she is.
I mean, she's like Goku.
She is essentially the Superman of Marvel. Like, that is what she is in this movie. And that's what they're trying to prove. So in Endgame, when she goes toe-to-toe with Thanos and gets her ass handed to her, people are going to be like, oh, crap.
And all is lost. And then
Captain America is going to step up. He's gonna fight Thanos. He's going to defeat him and die.
Yeah.
And it's going to make...
Die.
Yeah, die, quote-unquote die. That is going to make that scene so much heavier. Mm-hmm. It's going to make people like, holy crap, look at what Captain America was able to do. That is the only reason, and I'm putting it here now. I'm putting it out there. If that isn't what happens in Endgame, I will be completely shocked. But I tell you right now, that is why this movie was made how it was and why it came out when it did. There's no other reason that this movie needed to come out at this point in time except for that.
They could have easily pushed Ant-Man to it.
They could have easily had this movie come out after Endgame, introduced her in Endgame, and would have made even more sense, and I think it would have been even better.
Oh, hey, there's one more Marvel thing that came out this past week.
What's that?
The Endgame trailer.
There was an Endgame trailer. Yeah, there was.
I forgot about it. I didn't know if we were going to touch on it, but I forgot about it.
That was the first thing before we got into everything else.
Okay, never mind. I just was like, oh, if we didn't talk about that yet.
So what do you think of it?
Dude.
Now, here's the thing.
Dude.
I tell you what, like the first Endgame trailer was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
The exception of the last 5 seconds.
Yeah. This trailer, though, I will say, and you could hold me to this for the rest of my life. I don't care. This is the best trailer that Marvel has ever put out.
Yeah, there's no comedy. It takes itself serious.
It's completely serious. It completely gives you the feel of what the movie is going to be. The direness of the film, of what's happened, what's going to happen. That's what I love about it. I love the use of the black and white with a little bit of red.
Yeah.
I just love just the way that they came out with this trailer for the flashbacks and then, you know, everything moving forward. I do believe that there's a lot of misdirection in this trailer, only because now we know there was so much misdirection nice. In the Infinity War trailer. I see that they could possibly be doing that with this one as well. Either way, I'm looking forward to it. It was a damn good trailer. Yeah,
like this trailer was nice.
I don't, you know, if you're somebody who doesn't want to know what's going on, don't want to see any of the trailers, don't watch it, because I think it gives away a little more than it should. But again, they could be just
It could just be a whole big old misdirection.
Yeah.
And are they still going by their, like, first, what, 20 minutes of the movie?
Yeah, or something.
I
mean, that'd be hard to do. Like, with what we saw... Like, I can't imagine, like, that one scene where they're walking being within the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, if that's it, then, like, there's a whole bunch that's going to happen like, that we don't know.
I know. Like, God, like, I'm just, like, envisioning it right now. Like,
it's going to be like, whoa.
I can't wait, dude. I just can't wait.
We got 1 month in, like, 10 days or something.
1 month in, like, 8 days, dude.
Oh, God. It can't come sooner.
I know. It needs to come yesterday.
I said that when Infinity War came out. I was like, okay, Endgame could come out today, and I wouldn't even be mad. It could take all of my money.
All of it. All of my money. I got to request that night off, or that next day off, because... We're going that night. We're going.
Well, we're gonna see it in luxury that night.
Yeah, we're going in luxury. Are you taking Nicole with you this time?
Probably.
Okay.
I'm gonna make her sit on the other side of me like I did last time. I'll be like, shh. No. This time though, she's actually independently. She's seen all the Marvel films that are on Netflix. And without my I was like, I do want you to see them eventually. She did it by herself. So she's gonna walk in slightly more knowledgeable than she did for Infinity War.
That's fine. I think she'll enjoy it. I don't know if it'll impact her quite as much as it's going to impact you or I.
We're going to sit there and just be like, oh, God, no. Like when Red Skull happened, we're like smacking
we're
each other.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, what? And we're like, you don't know, but oh, my God.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's happening.
God.
All right, so let's get into our game. So we missed last week. We've been building up to Avengers Endgame by just talking about all of the different characters that have been in the Marvel Universe, the big characters, you know, not talking about, like, General Ross and stuff like that. I'm talking about, like, the superheroes, the heroes.
Yeah, like the relevant people.
The relevant people leading up to Endgame. That is what we've been doing. We've covered a lot of them already, and we're going to cover some more today. Now, we are going to cover quite a bit today. We're going to cover six of them, but it's going to be quickly because a lot of these characters just don't matter.
Yeah. Honestly.
Now, I'm going to start. I didn't want to start because I wanted to do the other three first, but because we're changing up a little bit here, I want Colton to be able to take and follow my lead here.
Yeah, I got some of the shittier ones.
So we're going to be talking first about Nick Fury, also known as Colonel Nicholas Joseph Fury. Now, in the comics, all right, Fury initially appeared in the World War II combat series Sergeant Fury and His Howling Commandos as the cigar-chomping NCO who led a radically and ethnically integrated elite unit. The series ran 167 issues from May 1963 to December 1981, the only in reprints after issue number 120. July 1974. That's weird. Following several issues by creators Lee and Kirby, penciler Dick Ayers began his long stint on what would be his signature series. Let's see here. The Howling Commandos encountered Office of Strategic Services agent Reed Richards, later Mr. Fantastic, the Fantastic Four in number 3, and fought alongside Captain America and Bucky in number 13.
Yeet.
Of the combat series, Sergeant Fury and His Howling Commandos. So he's been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know, he has been. Even in the movies, there was a movie that David Hasselhoff played Nick Fury in a movie back in, I believe, the 80s or early 90s. I don't remember when exactly.
It's been a while. He's been a while. He's been around. God, we're stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here.
Computer's yelling at you.
Yeah. Let's see. Now, in the comics...
Computer's really yelling at you over there. It's like, bench, shut up.
Yeah. He really, in the comics, when it comes to the Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet, that kind of stuff, nothing. Like, he wasn't around. You know, I mean, he was around, but he wasn't part of the...
He wasn't relevant.
Yeah. So, like, that's kind of what it is. So, everything that's going on in the movies...
Completely.
New. And we know in the movies, he first shows up in Iron Man 1 in a post-credit scene, being like, hey, Mr. Stark.
I got a purple lightsaber.
No, wrong movie.
Ah, damn it. I've had it.
Hey, motherfucker.
Does he look like a bitch?
I got a plane.
I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking blade.
But, no, he shows up at the end of Iron Man and is like, yo, dude, I got this team that I want to assemble. And that was pretty much it.
Yeet.
And then he really shows up and plays a big role in Avengers in 2012 and was in Winter Soldier. And, whoa, what up?
Computer's yelling at you again.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, he's been in and out of the cinematic universe. He was also on the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a few episodes here and there. I actually liked his story and arc in the first season. I thought it was kind of cool, different.
Was it Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. Both he and Maria Hill were in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And yet they don't take place in the same universe.
They do.
Do they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually does take place in the same exact universe as...
So it's a cinematic
MCU.
Universe. That's pretty cool.
It's the Netflix series that do but don't, but do but don't type of thing, you know?
Like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's just annoying. So, Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Let's see. So he does, you know, he does become an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that kind of stuff in the comics. Just, you know, like he was, or was in the movies. Again, we see him in Captain Marvel, this that just released. We see that he came up the ranks of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He started out as a pissant, and now he runs it.
Exactly. So, you know, it was cool. I like Nick Fury. I like what he's doing. I like what he's done. I'm not a big fan of how he created the name, the Avengers Initiative. Not a big fan of that, but it is what it is. That's a spoiler for Captain Marvel, so leave it at that.
He also does utter motherfucker finally.
I did not hear it in that movie.
He uttered it.
No, he does not.
He uttered it.
He does not.
He uttered it.
He does not.
No, we'll do a commentary later when this comes out.
I don't know, not this, but
the movie, when the movie comes out digitally, we'll do a commentary.
But yeah, that's pretty much him. Where do you think, I mean, we know in Infinity War at the very end that he was in the post-credit scene and he was decimated.
Yeah, he was in Resting Spaghetti. I mean, he'll probably be back and probably still doing S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he's one of those characters that you can kind of just throw in wherever and it's not going to make it out of sense. I mean, he's in Spider-Man, but we don't really know the time frame of Spider-Man either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Far From Home, not like Homecoming. So we don't really know the time frame of that movie either. That's a whole cluster in and of itself. I don't know. God damn it. I don't know. I can't imagine how he wouldn't play some sort of a role in it after the Infinity Saga.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I think he's going to play maybe a minor role. Not a big role, but I think he'll play a minor role.
I mean, he'll still be there.
Only because I think there's going to be a new head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Of a new S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
After Endgame.
Yeah. And I mean, he already has contact with the Skrulls if they go that route. So it makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I think he's going to be pretty cool. I think he's going to show up in Endgame. I do. I think, you know, there's going to be a point in time when there's going to be a reason why he doesn't call Captain Marvel prior to Endgame. I'm telling you right now, and where it's going to be explained in Endgame. Mm. I just had this weird feeling like Tony and the team are going to go back in time and they're going to talk to Nick and they're going to be like, Nick, blah, blah, blah. And Captain Marvel's going to be like, don't call me until this point in time and blah, blah, blah. When this happens, you'll know to call me. And that's why he does. I just have a feeling something like that's going to happen.
It's going to be crazy when they go back in time, see themselves and cause this paradox and the whole timeline just collapses.
It's going to be like that meme with Spider-Man and Spider-Man pointing at each other.
Yeah, that's going to happen, and then the timeline's just going to collapse on itself.
All right, I'm going to do one more before you start yours, because we're going to keep this one for last. Maria Hill. Now, Maria Hill first appeared in The New Avengers number 4 in March 2005. So she's a relatively new character, buddy.
It seems like that whole bunch, except for Nick Fury,
have
been the relatively new.
The editor-in-chief of Marvel at the time described Maria Hill as such a strong personality. She's like a force of nature, and quite frankly, while perhaps not immediately loved by all involved, she's certainly as strong and imposing a figure as Nick Fury. She was always meant to be a strong figure, similar, kind of like the woman version of Nick Fury. That's what she was supposed to be. You know, just be like... they had Nick Fury to be the strong male guy that isn't a superhero but is in S.H.I.E.L.D. And then you have Maria Hill, who does eventually join Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and she's the female equivalent.
Exactly. So that's pretty much her deal in the comics. There's not much that she does when it comes to the Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
In the movies, we didn't see her. We first saw her in Avengers 2012. 2012 Avengers, I believe. I don't think we saw her before then.
No, that was the first time we saw her.
Yeah. Then she did show up in
Captain Marvel.
Infinity War. She wasn't Captain Marvel.
I thought she was.
No, where was she in Captain Marvel? In Captain Marvel.
No. Was she?
No.
Was she? I don't know.
I don't think she was, man.
I don't know. Hold on.
But here, I can do this real quick. In film. Let's see. She played in The Avengers, The Winter Soldier, Age of Ultron, and various episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and she was in the Infinity War as she gets decimated alongside Nick Fury.
Yeah, I'm thinking someone else.
She is also going to be in Spider-Man Endgame, or Endgame, Spider-Man Far From Home, as well as Endgame. So she will be showing up.
Same thing with Fury, though.
Yeah.
I think just... relevancy.
Honestly, I don't think there's anything that we need to... I think she'll still be around from time to time. She's popping up in movies here and there. I don't think she's going to be any of any relevance. Like I said, I think Nick Fury is going to be a little more important during Endgame and after Endgame than Maria Hill will be. But yeah.
She'll just be there as like his right-hand man. That's it.
And basically how she's been.
Yeah. Like, she's not going to be any more relevant than she is now.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
That's what we get.
So.
All right, here we go. I get the shit Hawkeye. I'm going to start off with him. Hawkeye was introduced as a reluctant villain in Tales of Suspense number 57, September 1964. Which was a Iron Man comic. He was a villain of Iron Man.
Ooh.
After two more appearances as a villain in Tales of Suspense 60 and 64, December 1964 and April 1965, Hawkeye joins the ranks of the Avengers in Avengers 16, May 1965. He became a perennial member of the team and has made numerous appearances in all five volumes, including specials and annuals, as well as the Ultimates. However, Hawkeye's presence in the Avengers, both in the team and the series, would be sporadic for nearly a decade before starting in the early 1973. Steve Englehart, the Avengers writer at the time of Hawkeye's departure, explained, "When I had Hawkeye quit the Avengers, I liked him, but I wanted to try a different approach, so it's leaving fit. So it's leaving fit in with what I was trying to do." So yeah, Hawkeye was stupid.
Sorry, I try to make him laugh all the time.
God damn it. I like right out of my peripheral, I just see you doing shit over there.
I'm making weird faces as he's talking.
And then Hawkeye basically has his on and off with the Avengers, pretty much.
So speaking of Hawkeye in the movies, I mean, we know he first shows up in the first Thor. Yeah. He's there. He's like, yo, I'm Hawkeye. What up?
Hey, yo, I'm useless. I shoot a bow and arrow and we fight aliens.
And then he became even more useless in Avengers.
Yeah.
Because they immediately corrupted his mind and made him part of Loki's attack force. And then he hit his head and was better again and then was just as useless the rest of the movie. Yeah,
like, oh, aliens are flying around. Let me just stand still on this building. I got you. Like, that's useless. He's a turd. An absolute turd.
Then in Age of Ultron, he pops up and he's like, yo, I'm useless still.
Hey, yo, I still got my bow and arrow. We're fighting monster robot alien things.
And then,
yeah.
Then he shows up in Civil War and is like, yo, I'm still useless. I got my bow and arrow.
Basically.
And then he doesn't show up in Infinity War because he's like,
I'm on house arrest.
But he will be in Endgame, but not as Hawkeye. He will be as a character known as
Ronin.
All right, tell us about Ronin, buddy.
Well, Ronin is Hawkeye's alter ego when he feels like being emo and cool.
Oh, well, that's not what Wikipedia says. You don't have it pulled up, do you?
I don't. Anyway, so Ronin's useless. He's Hawkeye, but emo.
Oh, man. Ronin is the alias used by, let's see. Clint Barton is the second person to have the Ronin identity, becoming Ronin when he rejoined the New Avengers in the aftermath, and this is in the comics, of Civil War. He attempted to hand the caution back to Maya Lopez, who was the first person, after the latter was rescued from the Hand. Now, the Hand is a villain that you may, if you've watched Daredevil or The Defenders, the Hand is basically the opposite of the Foot from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's true, though. The Foot for the Turtles was created because of the Hand from Marvel. I'm not kidding.
Damn
it's true.
I hate you.
But Maya Lopez might have declined and allowed him to keep it. Barton later resumed his Hawkeye identity during the Heroic Age. So that's kind of what happens. Like, he takes on the persona of...
He gets emo for a couple years.
But what's cool is he kind of gets away from his bow and arrow and uses... swords and
becomes a TMNT
objects and
becomes a ninja.
Basically a ninja. Yeah, basically.
Except he's still useless.
Yeah, basically.
And his faux hawk looks so bad.
Yeah. So that is Ronin. In the movie, what do I think is going to happen? I think exactly what I just talked about here. He becomes Ronin after his family is decimated. And what goes on from there is they bring him into the fold to help rescue and try and correct things.
And he's useless.
And he becomes Hawkeye again, or not Hawkeye. I think he will basically hang up everything and be done.
Just retire or hopefully die.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Like, the MCU won't hurt from him leaving.
No.
His character was ass. The actor's ass.
You don't like? I like him as an actor.
I don't like him. Maybe as an actor, but I don't like him as a human.
I like Jeremy Renner. I think he's a decent actor. I like him. I like him in the Mission Impossible movies. His Bourne film, the mm-hmm. Bourne.
The Bourne Baby.
I can't remember what it's called, but I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was a good movie. I didn't think it was as bad as so many people thought. I wish they would have done their trilogy or saga of movies with him in it as well, but it's what it is. They do what they do.
He's useless.
All right, next, buddy.
Which one did... I'll do Ant-Man. Hank Pym.
Do you want to do Hank Pym or do you want to do Scott Lang?
I could do both. Because, I mean, technically, I mean,
Hank
either
Pym
one...
Hank Pym is going to be in the movie, but yeah. I don't care about Hank Pym. Tell us about Scott Lang.
Okay, let me go back here. I'll get Scott Lang pulled up. Okay. Scott Lang. He's created by David Michelinie. I butchered that one. And John Bim? That looks like an R. Byrne, maybe. Scott Lang first appeared in Avengers 181, cover dated March 1979. And as the second Ant-Man in the Marvel premiere, number 47, April 1979. That guy's last name had long been enthusiastic of shrinking heroes and saw Hank Pym's return to the Yellow Jacket guys as an opportunity to take over the discarded Ant-Man identity. He explained how he came up with the character. "I wanted something completely different in both origin and motivation from Pym. So I came up with the idea of a reformed criminal, not an unjustly accused innocent, which would have been the expected angle. And I figured that as a burglar, I can't say that word. Burglar?
Burglar. There we go.
I always say burglar.
The burglar.
That's what it always turns out.
The hamburglar.
Basically. He probably enjoyed the adrenaline rush of his previous job, so the excitement of heroic adventure could fill that need for him, but legally. Though Ant-Man's two-issue tryout in the Marvel premiere failed to garner the character's his own series, the dynamic of a single father and reformed criminal in a superhero role struck a chord with readers and led to Ant-Man enjoying modest popularity and frequent appearances in Marvel Comics thereafter. Ant-Man appeared prominently in 2012's FF series by Matt Fraction and Mike Alfred? Or Alred? An ongoing series focusing on Lang, titled simply Ant-Man, written by Nick Spencer and drawn by... God, I get so many worse names. Ramon Rosanas began April 2015. After Marvel's Secret War event, the series continued with the title Astonishing Ant-Man.
Okay, so moving on from there, Scott Lang, a.k.a. Ant-Man, pops up in actually a post-credit... No, he's mentioned in a post-credit scene of, I think, Age of Ultron, was it? I don't remember. I think it was Age of Ultron. Or maybe it was... No, he's not. When is he first... Look, I don't like Ant-Man. I never liked the Ant-Man movie, so I think his first appearance was actually in the first Ant-Man film.
As far as I'm concerned, his first appearance still hasn't happened.
He then is mentioned at the end of Ant-Man by... Yeah, that's right. So I think it was the Ant-Man... Was it the Ant-Man post-credit scene where they had Bucky in the vice, and they're like, we need somebody to do this, and... Steve was like, we need somebody to help us with this, and it was what's his face? Falcon was like, oh, I know a guy, and it was, he was talking about Ant-Man. I think that's when it was. You all may be yelling at me right
I don't
now.
I've never seen I no desire never saw Ant-Man one
but he shows up there, then he is in Civil War, and now he was in Ant-Man and the Wasp, and
that fucking turd.
And he will be in Endgame. Honestly, I think that they're going to do a third Ant-Man movie, so there's going to be another... He's going to be alive after Endgame.
Okay, so I'll... What about the villain, Ghost? Was that her name?
Yeah.
Do you think she'll be prominent after this?
No.
No?
I'd like for her to show up at some point because she was cool, but I don't think she...
I mean, she's the only real notable person outside of the other person I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, but... I mean, I know you don't really have much to say about Ant-Man.
Ant-Man's a turd, too. Yeah. I mean, at least he's kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah, I don't see much of him being much of a I think he'll be part of the new Avengers or whatever they do after the fact, but I don't see
it being... like he is not relevant.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He sucks. I mean, Hawkeye's still worse. But anyway, the all the other notable thing from Ant-Man and the Wasp was the Wasp. Now, they are flying creatures that tend to bite and be little assholes. Okay. Oh, wait. Janet? Janet Van Dyne.
There you go.
Debuted in Tales to Astonish, number 44. Plotted by Stan Lee, scripted by H.E. Huntley, and drawn by Jack Kirby, June 1963. As Hank Pym's partner, becoming the Wasp to avenge the death of her father, scientist Vernon Van Dyne, she co-starred in Tales to Astonish from issues 44 to 69, 1963 to 1965. She was a founding member of the Avengers, appearing in the first issue and giving the team its name.
Believe it or not, the Wasp was actually rumored to be in the first Avengers movie. They were actually going to introduce her. Whoa, I just lost my microphone, people.
Jesus. Way to go. Okay. Okay, I'll still talk.
All right. Yeah, no, she was supposed to be introduced in the first Avengers at one point. There was a script that Josh Whedon wrote that had her in there. He was trying to bring not only her, but Captain Marvel into the fold multiple times prior to them actually coming into the films. So
that would have been dope.
Yeah. She is a founding member of the Avengers, which is why, you know, he wanted to bring her into the film. But yeah,
because it would have made sense.
Yeah, it just didn't fit with the, you know, the movie.
And
what we've gotten so far.
It is with the Avengers that Janet became most well known. At first, she was a weak link in the team, but later on became one of the smartest and craftiest of its members. Though she takes leaves of absences throughout the series, she is one of the longest active members and has acted as leader of the team for longer than any other member, save for Captain America. Excuse me. During her absences from the core Avengers book, Janet appears in various other publications, including the appearing in, as the main character in the Marvel feature issues number 6 through 10. She has also made sporadic guest appearances in various other books, such as Captain America, Iron Man, and Fantastic Four. Janet became the leader of the Avengers in Avengers 217, a position she held until 278, with the exception of that brief period where she handed leadership off to Vision. She then appeared in issue 32 of West Coast Avengers, May 1988, becoming a full-time member in issue number 42. She made occasional appearances in Avengers Volume 3, returning as an active member of the team in issue number 27 before resuming leadership duties. She and Captain America became co-leaders of the team starting in issue number 38. After the events of Avengers Disassemble, Janet appeared in the limited series Beyond, before rejoining the Avengers in the Mighty Avengers number 1, 2007. She was presumed dead during the events of Secret Invasion in 2008. Wasp returned in the Avengers End Times storyline and ran from issues 31 to 34. She currently appears as a member of the Avengers Unity Squad in the Uncanny Avengers.
So, I don't think that she's going to play much of a role in the current state of the Avengers Endgame, maybe a little role.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think... I don't know what they have planned for her.
Yeah, they introduced her, and then it's just kind of like...
I mean, she's only been in one movie. She was cool. She was probably the coolest part of Ant-Man and the Wasp. But I don't know what they're going to do with her. I would like to see maybe her become part of the Avengers.
I mean, it'd be cool if they see her pick up the mantle and lead the Avengers, but that's safe for Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, they've but assured us that it's going to be Captain Marvel who is the new leader, just like Captain America was.
But I mean, that would have been a nice little homage to the comics.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if she becomes an Avenger, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
It's sad that, like, they introduced her and then that's it.
Yeah.
She's going to be a side character in Ant-Man storyline.
Yeah, basically.
It's sad.
So, Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Carol Danvers. Now, Carol Danvers, in July 2012, Carol Danvers, the longtime superheroine known as Miss Marvel, assumed the mantle of Captain Marvel in an ongoing series written by Kelly Sue DeConnick with art by Dexter Soy. Danvers dons a jumpsuit and explores her own past. DeConnick said at WonderCon 2012 that her pitch of the series could be described as Carol Danvers as Chuck Yeager. She said the series would contemplate what Captain Marvel's legend means to Danvers, how she will wield it, and how the rest of the Marvel Universe reacts. That is where she came from in the comics. She was prior Miss Marvel, and then becomes Captain Marvel, who the title of Captain Marvel was held by Mar-Vell, Monica Rambeau, Janice Vell, Phila Vale,
Alanis Morissette,
Knurr, and Novar. So there's a lot of different Captain Marvels in the past. However, Carol Danvers is the one that we get in the films and the one that we will get moving forward. Now, obviously, the big reason for that is because of the idea of pushing the strong women within comic book hero movies. And again, I'm not against that. It is what it is. It's fine. I approve of it. I think Captain Marvel is a great character from the comics. I didn't hate the movie, wasn't great, but I see what they're doing. It's fine with me. I don't care. So those people who are sitting there freaking out because it's a woman, I can't take women being strong. Shut up.
I mean, what's funny is the movie's Captain Marvel, but never once does it ever say she's Captain Marvel.
True. True.
It's crazy.
I agree.
Spoiler. I guess that's technically a spoiler, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here.
I don't think she does anything in Infinity War.
No. No. No, she does not.
But granted, Infinity War came out, what, like 10, 20 years before she was even made?
Truth. Truth. So, you know, I mean, really, when it comes to her, I mean, in the comics, she, you know, she has a lot that goes on with her.
Yeah, she's part of Civil War, too.
Yeah, she is part of Civil War. Where? There's like nothing here. What the heck?
She's too new.
Yeah. Let's see here. She assumes the mantle of Captain Marvel. She's also rejoined by the main Avengers team as Captain Marvel in volume number 5 of the Avengers. In the spin-off series Avengers Assemble.
Assemble.
Within Secret Wars, during the 2015 Secret War storyline, Danvers headlined her own tie-in series, Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps.
Ew.
Yeah. During the storyline, Danvers becomes a member of A-Force, Battleworld's all-female team of Avengers. The series continued in Marvel's all-new, all-different Marvel relaunch campaign and followed Secret Wars with Danvers in a key role. Yeah, I mean, there's not much.
Yeah, I mean, she's relatively new.
Yeah. Yeah. We just reviewed the movie, so we don't have much to talk about. She is going to be in Endgame. We got that in the trailer.
It's all but certain.
We know that the idea for her to show up is because everybody's going to think she's strong enough to go toe-to-toe with Thanos.
Yeah, I'm sure she will for a couple seconds.
I think she will. I think it'll be more than a couple seconds. Yeah. I guarantee you're going to see blows going back and forth between the two of them. I think it's going to go something like this. I think we're going to see Hulk get a chance to go at Thanos again. I do. I think we're going to see Hulk.
Going to catch them hands.
Oh, man. It's going to be brutal. It's going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he's going to get busted down. And then I think you're going to see Steve and or Tony both go head to head. And finally what's going to happen is Steve and or Tony's going to get knocked back and Captain Marvel's going to walk in. It's going to be like this big powerful scene. You know, like the
and you're going to hear Clara. Oh, shit.
No, think of the scene in Infinity War when Scarlet Witch and Vision are being tracked down by the Children of Thanos.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that train passes and you see Captain America there.
Yeah, and you hear
it's
going to
be
a
similar scene where, you know, everybody's going to be getting their asses kicked and Captain Marvel's going to be like, what up, bitches?
You're going to hear the Avengers theme playing.
I don't know if you'll hear the Avengers theme.
And that's going to be the passing of the torch, quote unquote.
In good old fashioned, how movies do it, there's going to be here I always like to relate it to Return of the Jedi, okay, because Return of the Jedi does it best, and I think it was the best in all of the movies for the way that a story is put together in all of the Star Wars movies. And I mean, Episode 1 does it, and yeah, they do it again later on, but Return of the Jedi, you have the heroes all going to battle. And they're accomplishing their goals. They're doing well. And then all of a sudden, boom, something happens, and all of your heroes just start failing.
Yeah.
They just fail, they fail, they fail. That way you see them fall, only to then get back up and overcome that defeat and come out victorious, okay? Return of the Jedi is one of my favorite movies that does that because I just love the parallels between what's going on at the Death Star and space as well as on Endor, on the moon of Endor. You know, like seeing all that, amazing. So I think we're going to have a similar thing happen here. However, it's not going to be like air, space, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be through time. You're going to see something going on here in one part of time. You're going to see a scene here in one part of time. You're going to see a scene here in one part of time. And the idea is that all these different time periods have to accomplish one goal to stop the decimation from happening or change the outcome of the decimation. And if one of them fails, it doesn't happen. And that's what's going to happen. And you're going to see Captain Marvel. You're going to see Tony. You're going to see Steve. And they're all going to be split up in different areas, I bet. That's what's going to happen. I just figured it out. I'm telling you right now.
If that's how it goes, I want Clash of Fates to play.
Shwana! Shwana!
I got to stop before we get a copyright.
So that's what I see happening, something like that. You know, there's going to be a moment where you're thinking the heroes are going to win because they're beating the crap out of Thanos or beating his army, whatever he has at that point in time. It looks like they're going to win. And then all of a sudden, they all get beaten down.
And then the Battle of Wakanda.
And then Steve stands up and Steve comes in and he's like, what?
But then looks down and realizes Thanos' fist is through his body.
No, I mean, I don't know. I can't say.
I have a feeling that that's going to play out and everything's going to fail and then it's going to fall back to the Battle of Wakanda.
It could.
And everybody's going to be there for it.
It could.
And she's going to be like, okay, well, this is it.
It could. Very well could. Maybe that's what they have to do. Maybe they have to go back in time and stop the group going to Titan.
Yeah.
So they stop that from happening, but they also go and get the Guardians and
Thor and everyone.
And even, you know, Gamora and stuff like that. And they maybe that's what they do. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? We don't know. It's a month away.
I mean, I think Gamora is going to have to go, and no matter how you look at it. Because if they're going to make their final stand on Wakanda, it's going to be over the Mind Stone.
Mind Stone.
Yeah. It's going to be over that.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to overcome all the stones to stop Thanos.
Maybe.
And then Iron Man's going to get the glove and snap, but in reverse and undo everything.
That'd be cool.
Never know.
Gets his arm blown off.
That would be sweet. Or he does something with the time stone that so he has a gauntlet and Thanos just reversed time and did the snap, but he comes back and reverses time on Thanos, so he unsnaps and nothing happens. Lackluster, I know, but it's Marvel.
Yeah. Ouch, come on. We're hoping for the best here.
I'm hyped for this movie. I'm going in there with the best expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, guys, look, here's the deal. Next week is when we start covering just one character a week. All right. We're getting there, guys. We're almost there. We're starting to talk about the final five characters, the big five characters.
Which means we're 6 weeks away.
We are less than one, two,
maybe
three,
five.
Four, 5.5 weeks away.
Okay, I forgot that we do one character on the week of Endgame. Yeah. I thought we'd stop it for them. Yeah. My bad. So we got 5 weeks.
We got 5 weeks. We're kind of coming up with an idea for our big Avengers pregame episode. I'm not sure if we're going to go with it yet. I think we should. I think it'll
be cool.
It's
pretty cool. I mean, it would require us to do a little bit of homework.
That's fine. That's fine.
I'm fine with doing a little bit of homework.
But I'm trying to get John Horsley from Spoiler Country, maybe even his co-host. I'm trying to get Deej Penhollow from Nerdtalkalypse and anybody else that wants to join in on this Avengers pregame show, so we can talk about it and just talk Avengers and what's going to happen in Endgame. That is our plan. That is our goal. Trust me, I have some other things that I want to do in there. I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to get anybody's hopes up if we don't end up doing it. But essentially, it's going to be all Avengers all day.
It's going to be a long boy.
Hours. I'm hoping it's going to be a couple hours long.
I'm expecting at least 3 to 4. I'm expecting that long.
I hope so, because I think it'll be a cool episode. So remember, that's going to be the week of Endgame. We're also going to have multiple episodes that week, and it's going to be so much Avengers, so much Marvel.
We're going to have
in your face.
What, like three episodes, four episodes that week potentially?
Within a week, it'll probably be 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Probably.
And maybe a live reaction.
Maybe. So keep that in mind. Keep looking for those. Next week, we will be covering Black Widow. After that will be the Hulk. then Thor, then Mr. Captain America. Yes, I said Mr. And then...
Don't have to call me Mr. That's my dad. Just call me America.
And then finally, Iron Man. Yes, we didn't cover, like I said, like General Ross, all those side characters.
We didn't cover Pepper Potts.
Yeah, I'm not covering Pepper Potts.
All 3 seconds of screen time.
Happy Hogan. But that's all right. That's all right, because we all like them. We all know they're there. But we're covering the important ones. So thank you for listening. Let us know what you think is going to happen with these characters that we talked about today. Hill, Fury, Captain Marvel, Ant-Man, Wasp, and Hawkeye/Ronin. Let us know what you think is going to happen to them in Endgame and coming up after Endgame. Let us know what you thought about Captain Marvel. Did you like the movie? Did you think it was everything is cracked up to be? Or do you think, like us, that it's, hey, it's a typical mediocre Marvel film. It's nothing special. You know, Marvel has like 5 big hits on their hand. It's nowhere near those. What do you think?
I think it's funny. We're going to say that and then like, they're going to do Secret Invasion, and we're going to be like, oh, man, Captain Marvel was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't know how they could do Secret Invasion now. I just don't know. I don't know if they can, but that's for another day.
I mean, that could set up, like, the Skrull-Kree War, and then, like, you're going to have to go into...
the way that things were portrayed...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard.
Tough, but we'll go. Well, that's a discussion for another day, buddy.
I'm sorry.
Jeez.
Hey, you got into it. I just said we're going to regret what we say.
Yeah. But thanks for listening. Sorry we missed last week. We will try not miss another week.
Yeah, we die sometimes. It's okay.
Yeah, it happens. We need breaks sometimes. We need a little break sometimes. But thank you for listening. Please share our podcast. We want to get it out there. We want to see if it's worth just doing this. I love doing it, but...
Rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
You know, if people aren't going to rate us, if people aren't going to share us, are we worth doing? Wait.
Yes. As I wink, but no one can see it because this is an audio show.
And hey, spring is upon us just in a few days here.
Oh,
so
hey, Wednesday. Spring. Wednesday, which is March 20th. Go to Dairy Queen. They're giving out free ice cream cans.
Heck yeah. First day of spring, guys. Love it. Welcome spring. We're glad it's here. Thanks for listening.
This is not a sponsored episode, but go to Dairy Queen. Get free ice cream.
It's sponsored by spring.
Yeah.
But thanks for listening, everybody. I said it again. I'll say it again. Thank you for listening. We appreciate all of you 5 people out there that do listen to us.
We love you.
And yeah, we'll talk to you or talk at you next week.
Bye.